doing and where we're at. It's been several weeks, and again, appreciate the guys jumping in. But we've been studying, or beginning to study, the fruits of the Spirit. And I truly believe that of all times, and I'm sure Paul could have said the same thing in his ministry years, man, the world needs to see this live through the Christian's life. And I think we also need to understand how important this is. We'll see tonight as we deal with the first one, how important it is for these to be lived in our life. Because they're not just a good idea. They are things that really need to be evident in our life. And so when we see this and we study through this, we looked at, as we got into it the week before on the second study, and I'm using my computer because my notes are all in there and haven't had to print them off yet. But we found that fruit simply means outcome or result. So it's a result. The fruit just doesn't happen. There's only, I don't know, I kind of think when God created, he didn't create trees and everything from a seed. When God looked at it at the end of 6 days, it was all good. And I'm kind of thinking he created it completed. God is a completer. Everything he does, he completes. And so I think it was all completed. I mean, when the fruit was there, it was there. And so we need to understand that that fruit is a result. And so how do we get results? Results come by choices we make in life. Results just don't happen. Well, maybe they do if we choose nothing. Life's going to hit you and run you over. And, you know, you wait, you have a decision to make and you wait because you're not sure which one to make and you're not sure it's the right decision. And, you know, life doesn't stop for any reason. There are some days in our life we wish it did, wish we could hold back a little bit, hold back the time so that we could figure things out. But life doesn't stop. So therefore, when you don't make a choice, it will be made for you, probably one you won't like. Or you run out of options and you have to make the only choice available. So it's not about making choices help us bear that fruit, but I really think it helps us bear the right fruit. If we don't choose, I'm kind of thinking it's really difficult to bear the right fruit because it doesn't come natural to us. It's not something we just do. So fruit is a result or an outcome. And again, when it's an outcome or result of when we look at this verse, Galatians 5:22, you can turn your Bibles there if you would, Galatians 5:22. We're going to jump to two or three different scriptures tonight. But when you look at Galatians 5:22, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And in that verse, it states the list of the nine as we know them. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The end of verse 23 at the end of the list is kind of interesting. And I just want to share this quickly. This is sort of like a free note. We'll probably see this again and study through it a little bit more. But I just want to just look at how it's worded. Verse 22 starts out, but the fruit of the Spirit is. And then the very last phrase of verse 23 says, against such there is no law. So what that says is these are fruits of the Spirit. Man cannot legislate these gifts or these abilities or these fruits because we can't set up the perfect utopia that some feel that we can establish or some feel we can have. We can't have that perfect place, that perfect, boy, if I just had that one job or if I just had that one house or if I just lived in that one area, if I would only, seems to be the underlining phrase of every time we think we've made it or every time we think we've got a handle on something. And so we can't legislate, we can't set it up in our own lives for these fruits to be a result of decisions we make when life hits us. And so interesting as we study through, we need to realize that these are choices because they're not going to come on our own. And we saw that there was only 20. The last time I was here to speak a couple weeks ago, we saw that there are 20 actions and reactions only 20. You only have 20 choices in life. To make it a little simpler for life. You only have 20 choices in life every time something happens to you. And we looked at all 20 of those quickly, and I don't think I gave them to you in writing, so if you need them, I'll copy them off and get them to you. But they're back and forth like coin flippers. So really, we only have 10. If we want to follow the Spirit of God, we have 10. If we want to follow the Spirit of man, we have 10 more. So we're going to jump between the 20 all of our life. And so when God says no, Satan says yes. When God's love needs to be seen, we give self-love. God's joy, we frustrate it big time. We have frustrating days and we frustrate our God. The next one is God's peace. We bring worry. Again, the flip side, long-suffering, we're quick-tempered. And some quicker than others, but we're all quick-tempered. Gentleness, harshness. Goodness, meanness. Faith, doubt. Meekness, discord, always causing issues. Temperance, self-indulging. And so with every one of these 9, we need to realize that there's a flip side to them. And one of them are going to be evident in our life every day, every decision, every moment. So the question is, which one do we want to see evident in our lives? Because there is no middle of the road. There is no new list that you can stand. All there is a degree level of how tempered you are or how indulging or how much of God's love are you going to show or how much you're not going to show. And it's a gauge of how much, but there is no, it's going to be one or the other. And so when we understand that and we put this together and we see the first fruit we come to in verse 22 is love. So I want to understand this word a little bit, how the Bible would understand it or how the Bible would want it understood. And first of all, definition of love is the willing and sacrificial giving of ourselves for the benefit of others without wanting anything in return. That's the love that God talks about. That's the love that the Spirit of God gives us. And so, again, the willing and sacrificial giving of ourselves for the benefit of someone else, expecting nothing in return. It's just an all-out, I'm going to love you because it's the right thing to do. And I expect nothing in return. How easy is that for us to do to the people around us? Sometimes it's easy to do with the people that we love, let alone the ones we don't. It's difficult to have that type of love. In fact, according to, as we mentioned in verse 23, against such there is no law, there's nothing we're going to do of our own to reach that. Because with the sinful nature that we have a selfish nature that goes with it. And we will always be selfish. We'll always have a, well, if I do this for them, then maybe I'll get this in return. And we always have that mindset. And it's very difficult not to in most any decisions of your life. It's very hard not to have that selfish mindset as we go through this. So understanding the definition of the word, we also need to know, as it's listed here in verse 22, that it is the a Greek word, agape. Some of you realize what that word is. There's 4 different styles or levels of love. Agape is the God love. And interesting enough, I'm going to give you a little bit of history on this word. This word agape was never found in classical Greek, has yet to be found in classical Greek. So when they were understanding the Greek language, when they were speaking the Greek and Arabic and Hebrew language, agape was never spoke of. It was only introduced and revealed when God spoke it, when Christ spoke it in religion. So the classical Greek, if you go back and read some of their literatures, or anything, you won't find this word agape. You'll find it only in the writings of Scripture. And that alone ought to tell you something. It ought to tell you that it's a God thing, and it's only a God thing. And so it's only revealed in religion. We find it translated sometimes with the word charity. Charity simply means love. It means a benevolent love. And again, we take a benevolence offering for people, and we find out there are needs in some families or some homes and individuals' lives, and so we try to meet that need, but we never meet that need and then, you know, write a little note with it and say, you know, pay us back whenever you can. Or, you know, we're gonna do this for you, but, you know, we expect you to have a perfect attendance in church. You do this type of charity, benevolent love, with nothing expected in return. There's a need. By God's grace, you meet the need, and then you let God do what God does. And I want to tell you, it's amazing what some of the benevolent offering has done in the hearts and lives of some people. I mean, it encourages them. And even in the hometown mission and helping out in the several areas in that way. What it does to the folks who receive that, it's just phenomenal. And so that's this type of love, okay? It only comes through religion. It only comes through an understanding of who God is. It is not shown, and this is interesting, it is not shown by doing what the person that you're loving desires. It is shown when you... the one who loves basically is doing what is necessary for the one they're loving. So in other words, it's not a list. It's not of, you know, you can't show this type of love. Now, you can show that type of love. You can show that type of love to someone who is a young child, who is in the middle of the store, who is screaming their head off. You feel bad for them. Okay, I'll buy you the candy bar. Not supposed to, you don't need to, you give in. I mean, that type of love is basically all the result of that will be is a spoiled brat when they get older, because they'll fuss and they'll carry on until they get what they want. And I'm telling you what, we are like that with our God sometimes. And sometimes we'll carry on with our God, and sometimes we'll throw a fit with our God until God really allows us to get what we want. And sometimes God says, I'm telling you, I love you with an agape love, and you're not going to get this. You are not going to get the answer to the prayer that you are praying, because I love you, and I'm going to give you what's necessary, not what you want. You see, that type of love doesn't come from man. That type of love doesn't come from individuals that don't really have a heart for God and a submitted and a surrendered heart to God. So that is also needs to be understood, because we cannot show this type of love. It has to come from the Spirit of God in us. And so how do we make these, as we look at this first fruit, again, fruit is only the outcome or result of a choice made. In fact, it's interesting enough, the other Greek word, I did not write it down, so let me grab it quick. The other Greek word, and when you find in the Gospels, when Christ says that we are to love our enemies, he doesn't use this word, at least not in this form. The word that Christ uses in that form, instead of agape, it's agapo. Now that doesn't sound like much except a vow. But what agapo means is it is not shown by doing what the person loved desires. And this is that agape. But it indicates a direction of the will and finding one's joy in giving it. For you and I to love our enemies, and this is the agapo is the word used when Christ commands us to love our enemies, it is a direction of the will. It's a choice. It's not going to happen all of a sudden. It's not going to happen just because. You will not love the people around you unless you choose to love them. And the only way you're going to choose to love them is if you've surrendered to your God that loved you first. And that's the love that, listen, that's the love that people got to see. So we need to understand this. For you and I to show this love towards God and others, it must come from the Spirit of God within us, not our own desires, not our own wills, not by our own choices. We have to truly, and I'm going to tell you, there are some people that we need to go on our knees and we need to pray to God to give us the Spirit of love to love them, because we just don't want to. I just don't want to. You just don't want to. And we need to go to God and say, God, I want that Spirit, your Spirit of love to come through. I want that fruit. And it starts with a prayer. It starts with praying for that person. Have a hard time staying mad at somebody that you pray for. And I say that in counseling when I have couples coming in and they're spatting back and forth and divorce is on the table and they want to split things up. And, you know, you try to get them to pray for each other so that each other can hear, because it's hard to stay mad at somebody when you're praying for them or the person hears you praying for them. And so that's where it all begins and that's where it all starts. But let's get a couple of examples. Go to Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 8. And these are examples that God has given. Two examples that God has given. Romans 5:8 says, but God commanded his love, agape, towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, remember, what was the definition? The willing and sacrificial giving of ourselves for the benefit of the others without anything in return. Do we see that in that verse? When we find that verse saying, but God commanded, God made a choice. God commanded his love. He just didn't love. He commanded that love. And it was a choice that God made. He commanded his love to who? To us. We are the ones that the love is being given to. And again, understanding that definition also shows that he gave us really not what we deserved, but he gave us what he knew we needed. And we needed his son, the Savior. And so when that verse says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Christ died for us with no expectations from you and me. If there was one person left on this world and it wasn't us, he still would have sent his son. He didn't send his son so that we would automatically be in heaven. He didn't send his son so that you and I would automatically be a part of his family. He sent his son because it was the only way to him. And he commanded his love. His son dies on the cross. We're going to see this in a couple weeks. Easter's here and everybody's going to get real religious for a day or two. And so we get this concept of Christ dying on the cross, but then God says to you and me, now what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I did this not because I believe the whole world is going to be in heaven. I did this because it's the only thing I could do because I love you, but you need to do something with it. What are you going to choose? One of the things that was pretty cool, Kim and I was on the one flight, and it was the flight from Houston to L.A. on the way out, and this young kid, 22, 23 years old, was sitting by me and making small talk, and, well, what do you do for a living? Like, here we go. So, you know, we told him what I did for a living, and, oh, okay, and nothing big was said, and I was reading some of my, had to do some homework while I was gone for my schooling I'm doing, so I was doing some reading, and he was watching a movie, and a little bit into the flight, he says, I got a question. So we started talking, and this kid is unbelievable. He's just a young kid who come from a very, very, very rough home, has seven, he's one of seven siblings. Mom's been having multiple children to different people, and just a really rough drug-infested family. And we had such a precious conversation with this kid. And he's feeling led in to go to ministry. And he was absolutely blown away that God would put him on a seat beside a preacher on an airplane that would answer his questions that he had. I'm going to tell you, our God isn't small. Our God is a whole lot bigger than what we think or what we sometimes live like. And so I gave one of my cards and I said, listen, keep in touch. And it was 2 or 3 days later, I was on my computer in Australia and he sent me an email. So we sent him one back and hopefully we get him going back and forth. He's originally from Arkansas. Now he lives in California and he was on his way back home. So it was just interesting. This is what God does. And as we see this, God commanded that love, but he says, what are you going to do with it? That's the agape love. When we turn around and love people, we love them without the results or without wanting anything back. It's like, I'm loving you. What are you going to do with it? And that's hard. I'm going to tell you what, that is the hardest thing you and I will do. Because sometimes what they do with it isn't very nice. But that's their problem. That's on them. They'll answer to God for that one. Our answer, our response is to love. And so when we see this played out in Ephesians 5:8, or let's go to Ephesians 5, chapter 2. Romans 5:8, God commanded his love towards us. Ephesians chapter 5, but looking at verse 2. And walk, Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved. That love is agapo. It's not agape, it's agapo. And agapo says we direct our wills to love. Romans 5 said God commanded. God directed his will to love us. And when he loves us, what did that do? And hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. Isn't that the definition? You're willing to love someone sacrificially, willing to give to them. That's exactly what the verse says. To God for a sweet smelling savor. We are to walk in this love as Christ directed his will, agapo, to love us. And so when we look at this, and again, when we and walk in love, that first love in that verse is agape. You are to walk in the God love as he, agapo, directed his love towards us. And listen, it's not just a good idea. It's a command of God. We need to have this love. We need to have this love. Why? Because what it does, as he gave himself for a sweet-smelling savor to God, God is looking at your life, he's looking at my life, and he's saying, what do I smell? What am I smelling from you? Is it sweet-smelling savor? And that goes back to the concept of the sacrifice, to the altar that God established back in Leviticus. When they would put the burnt offering on the altar and the savor would go up, God saw that and accepted that for a time for the forgiveness of sin. And so he's looking at our life and he said, your sins have been forgiven. What am I smelling? What's coming out of you? And so that sweet smelling savor is the same thing that we need to be able to have into our life. So what is the result of this? What's this do? Go to John chapter 13. I'm going to close with this verse. John chapter 13. And we're going to look at two verses, verse 34 and 35. First, verse 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you. That alone tells you something. Who is he talking to? He's talking to his 12 disciples. He's talking to the individuals who understood the sacrificial government. He understood the sacrificial ceremonial law. They understood the sacrificing to the animals. So he said, I'm going to give you something new. And this new that he's going to give them is what? That ye love, agapo, that you direct your will to love. Who are we supposed to love? One another. as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, the result of all of this in our life, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love, agape, God love, one to another. That's the result. Why are we living in a culture that says God's not real? Because his children aren't loving. They're not seeing the God love because we're not directing our wills to love people around us. We only love the ones that love us back, or we only love the ones that we want to love. We only love the ones that get us something. You know, I'll do this for you because I know you'll do this for me. And listen, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the love that God is exemplifying and he's commanding in these verses. I mean, it's very simple. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Why? Because you can't love this way without being one of his disciples. It's impossible. And when we exemplify that, you know what happens? God does some amazing things in relationships. He does some amazing things into the people's life around us. And that's one of the things we hear all the time dealing with the group of the addicts. You actually show up and you show that you care. And you're not going to do that unless you love them. But you're not going to love them until you love your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. It's a surrender to him, to love him. Christ died on the cross to glorify his Father, and we happen to be blessed because of it. Christ died for us, yes, but he died to glorify his Father in obedience. And we got the blessing of it. And we've got the salvation because of it. So understanding this first fruit to me is very important. And as we go through our study, we're going to look at the next one, the joy that comes. Because we need to understand that this is so important in our lives. We need to understand God's level. Because I'm afraid in the Christian realm today, we have reached a certain level and we stay there. We're okay to be there. We don't want to strive for a little bit more, a little bit better. We don't want to strive to be a little different. We just want to fit in. We're all okay. We're all going to heaven. But God says, listen, that's not where it's at. You and I need to be striving more and more every day in our life to show the fruit of the Spirit. That's our goal in life. Not to show, and I saw a sign. In fact, I took a picture of it, but it's on the camera. Let's see if I can remember it. We are not defined by our abilities. We are defined by the choices we make when life hits. That to me is huge. We are defined by how much the Spirit of God is seen living in us when life hits. That's all that matters. Because then they're going to know what? They're going to know that we are a disciple of God. They're going to know that he is real. And that he is God. And that's the God that we need to exemplify. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love. And God, I just thank you for the study. And Lord, just a refreshing, reminding to me about how important it is. And Father, it's all about you.